There we go. Is that better? Green is a good color. I can tell the difference between red and green. Sorry about that. And so, yeah, it wasn't this. So sorry. But let me just give you a few highlights that I won't really focus on tonight in the message, but just some interesting things, right? So, you know, there could be some debate if you look at chapter 2, but I'm going to tell you my conclusion from the Word of God is that Eve was created on day 6 as well with Adam. I don't think it's heretical, but here's what I think the Scriptures would indicate. Look at verse 27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply," and he gives them commands. And then he tells us in verse 31, "In the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So by all evidence of the Scriptures, if you're just going to follow the Scriptures, and chapter 2 is just kind of a review of some details that happened, that Adam was created first, then God put him into a deep sleep, and then Eve was created from Adam's rib. So if you want to just stay scripturally and biblically and within the context of Scripture, I think you would have to conclude clearly that Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day, and then God gives them commands on the sixth day. The other thing I think is interesting is it looks like God's intent for man was that they would be vegetarians. He did not give them a command to eat meat until after the flood. Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, he says, "Now you can eat animals, and they will be for meat for you." And just to help you understand, that's not an outrageous thought. If God didn't lay out what would be meat for them, I think we should have concluded that in the first place, because in order to have a steak, what has to happen? Death, right? So this is a great question. I think I've talked about this from the pulpit before. Did animals sin? They didn't. So why do animals die? Because of our sin. You see, our sin affects more than just humans. It affected the animal kingdom. It affected the whole universe. The earth is falling apart because of our sin. You see, our sin, you cannot just think you can sin and limit it to yourself. It's affecting so more, right? But by all evidence, both humans and animals, every one of them were going to be vegetarians. And that's not outrageous either. You know, bears, grizzly bears, I know they prefer Jacob, but grizzly bears, they can eat berries and they can, you know, just they'll eat anything. You know, polar bears prefer, you know, seals. But before the fall, God took that desire away, and they would eat vegetation, they would eat fruit, and he told them that, and he commanded them that. I think that's super interesting. Now look at this in verse 26. You see the title of the message, God created man in their image. I did that purposely because we're talking about God in a singular context, but God is plural at the same time. So God created man, you could have said in his image, and he uses both terms in these verses. Just look at this. We've talked this recently, even Sunday. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Then it goes singular. But God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Again, one final comment I've made in several weeks. The Bible tells us that God created them male and female from the beginning. He didn't start with single cells, and then you don't have to answer that question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken, okay? And then you got the chicken and the rooster, and he's like, "Man, that chicken looking good tonight." And so they made more chickens. Okay, that's how it works. That's how it worked from the beginning, right? So it's that was God's plan from the beginning. But let's talk about this tonight. Sometimes it's a bit nebulous. That what does it mean to be created in the image of God? I'm going to finish with five things, but here's what I want to do. I just want a review of the Scriptures that talk about being created in the image of God. I think you're going to find this very cool. You're going to find it come full circle. Maybe I can't read. Is that? All right, guys, it is not working here. So first, see if we can just get this, or you know what, let me see. Let me spin these batteries here real quick. Let's see. No. So anyway, let's look at verse, God created, a man is created in God's image. That's my first thought. But it's this, it's just in verse 26. And so it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. After our likeness. So gives you a little perspective. What does it mean in image? It says after our likeness. And so he reiterates that. I'll see if I can, it's still not working, that's okay. See if we can reiterate that in verse 26. But listen then to James chapter 3, verse 9. James chapter 3, verse 9. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. So Aaron, while you're working on that, how about forwarding the slides as well? Go to slide number 3. That'll have, yeah, the verses there. So you'll see that in James chapter 3, verse 9. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. So man is created in the image of God, and so there a likeness is part of it. But I want you to remember this. God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit at this time, they were spirit. The Bible tells us, Jesus even made that point. He said, God is spirit. Oh, there we go, Aaron, it's working. So, perfect. Thank you very much. And so, God is spirit. But I will tell you, there is something about you and I created in the likeness of God. And so, God is eternal. He's not limited by time. So, while Jesus, from our perspective in time, was spirit, when he came to earth and the incarnation, where he put on flesh, he became a man. God always knew what that looked like. So there is some aspect of that. So man is created in God's image. I want you to see this. Jesus is the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. I want you to just watch this flow. Man is created in the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. Look at these verses, just a couple. 2 Corinthians 4:4, you're familiar with this verse. Not for this reason, but it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, in John chapter 14, when Philip said, you know, just show us the Father and that'll be sufficient. Just show us the Father and it'll suffice us. Just show us him. Jesus said, how long have I been with you, Philip? If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And I'm telling you, there is some aspect of the physical that is part of the image of God. I don't think it's the primary part, but I think it is a significant part. So when the Bible talks about image, it's not just talking about the physical. It's talking about who God is and how God operates and how God thinks and all of those things. But look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Speaking of Jesus, it says Jesus, from the previous verse, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So Jesus is the image of God. So we are created in the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the image of God. Then the Bible tells us our children are created in our image. And so that's pretty cool that our children are created in our image. Just to give you Genesis chapter 5, it says, this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Again, just reiterating. Verse 2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Interesting. Maybe that's why we take on the male name when you get married. It's because if you see what God did, he says he called their name Adam in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So it is, our children are created in our image. And so it's not just the physical component, but there is a component of that. So I'm kind of enjoying this. Do you see kind of the, I want you to just wrap your mind in that. We're created in the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. Our children are created in our image, and believers, we are created in the image of God. There is a restoration. There is a work that is done when we are saved that we are then, if you would allow, reborn in the image of God. See, this will help you because it's not going to be really physical at all. It's going to be a spiritual component that we are created in the image of God. Now let's look at a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And Paul says, and that you put on the new man. You guys understand this, that if you're lost today, you just have one person, it's the flesh, spiritually dead, and you're headed to eternal damnation. If you're saved, you've been given new life in Christ. You have a new man and an old man. You have the flesh and you have the spirit, the new man. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so this is interesting. It is not until we're born again that we can actually have the characteristic of God, of his righteousness and holiness. It is impossible to have righteousness and holiness without the new birth. And so I love this, right? I've enjoyed the progression. Maybe you're not as enjoying it as much as I am, but it is. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed. I love the Bible gives us different angles, different terminology, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So it's interesting. So I think this verse could help us with terms that we use that you won't find in the Bible. I will use this term, that we are a fallen image of what God created. We are a fallen image of what God created in Adam. Do you see that in Colossians 3:10? And he says, put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So Adam would have had righteousness, would have had holiness. Adam would have had some of these attributes that we cannot have without being born again, without being renewed in Christ. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And we know, based on Romans 8, just a few verses later, that the final culmination of my redemption, or my being conformed to the image of Christ, is the resurrection of my body. So I will tell you, I would have mentioned it Sunday, Easter Sunday, but I wasn't here. It is part of the reason why the resurrection was a requirement. You cannot be fully conformed to the image of Christ without having a perfect, resurrected, holy, righteous body. And I'm excited one day to get that body. But it is an absolute requirement. And the only way I can be truly righteous and holy, and the only way I can truly be conformed to the image of Christ, the only way I can truly be conformed to what God's intent was, is I have to get a new body. Get rid of this one, get a new one. And so I want you to see this as well. So this is pretty cool. So man created in the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. Our children are created in our image. That's not, but don't limit yourself to just if your kids look like each other. Who thinks your kids look like you? Raise your hand, because your kids look like you, your kids look like you, your kids look like you. Stephen, your kids are way better looking than... I'm just kidding. I'm not. But it's who else thinks their kids? So it's not just, the physical look, right? I mean, it is. I remember people would point out that Josh would be walking down the road and be walking exactly like me. And I thought, man, that guy walks good. But it was because it was after me. I mean, we've been inundated with Elia videos today and just mirroring her mother. She's cooking and Rachel's letting her be at the stove and, supervising her and all this stuff. And so she fixed some enchiladas and Rachel said, What are you making? She goes, cake. And Rachel goes, no, it's enchiladas. She goes, okay. And she didn't want to pronounce that word. But she's at the table eating, and she goes, Daddy, come and eat dinner, honey. And I was just like, we saw a video. She was at the playground, and she was chasing after a little girl. She goes, hang on, honey. And so she didn't even, I think she had just met the little girl, right? Who was she mirroring? Who is she mimicking? Her mama. And so there's, when they're created in our image, it is, who should we mirror? Who should we mimic? Who should we strive to be like? It's God. You understand, this is significant. This is what evolution fights against, what evolution is about to attack. It's to attack not only accountability, but a beautiful love relationship with God. He created us in His image as a blessing, not as a curse, as a good thing. And the world said, not only did He not create us, we want nothing to do with Him, but I will tell you this, we've been created in His image, and we've been created, recreated in Christ. Now, I want to tell you, responsibility comes from being created in God's image. I got a verse for you here, but it's this. It's not about guilt, but I'm just challenged with this. How did Adam and Eve dishonor God? Sin. We've been born again. And I want to go back to these verses just real quick. I want you to go back here. Let's look at this. Look at the first verse, Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So I want you to understand this. We must put on the new man. You must put off the old man and put on the new man. And I would suggest you need to do that daily, if not many times throughout the day. But God has given us this ability daily, hourly, that we can walk in righteousness, we can walk in holiness. I don't tell you that to make you feel miserable. Remember, we have an advocate with the Father that is working for us, that is not against us, that will help us. But I want you to know, you can have victory. I can have victory over whatever the besetting sin is. It doesn't matter if it's been decades, because I've been given all I need, and all I must do is put on righteousness, or I am just like Adam. Not deceived, just not willing. So I'm encouraged. Are you encouraged that with the new birth, we are given an opportunity to reflect the image of God? And what is the greatest way to reflect the image of God? I believe it's through righteousness and holiness. Because true righteousness will love. True holiness will be kind. And so we get to reflect the beauty and the glory of God. But responsibility comes from being created in God's image. Look at this. Just look at Genesis chapter 1. It says here in Genesis chapter 1, it said, and God blessed them. And God's blessed you. And He said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. So, and replenish the earth. He wanted the earth to be filled with people. I will tell you, He didn't give them a limit. Don't you? I hate this stuff. There is such an anti-people movement going on. Right? We got too many people. Not enough squirrels. I don't know. You know, I'm not anti-squirrel. But we do have a lot of squirrels now that my cats are gone, so I might be becoming pro-cat soon. I mean, we have like a wildlife safari back there. We had nothing, man. Nothing moved when we had cats. But it is, as the Lord said, He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God knows exactly what He's doing. You don't have to worry. If you listen to the news, you're going to become anti-people. You should never look at somebody and say, whoa! You know how to stop that, right? If they have a bunch of kids. You should go, man, I wish I had more. But watching you, I'm so glad I didn't. No, don't say that. But it is, I want to tell you, God says, have a bunch of babies. Don't you worry about running out of food. Don't you worry about running out of water. You know, there's about zero risk that we're going to run out of water. I mean, it's one of the most ridiculous things ever. Desalinization is so easy, so cheap, so common, and we don't do that much of it. What that is taking the ocean that's 3.5% salt and taking the salt out of it so we can drink it. Not difficult. But we choose not to do it many times. So I just don't want you to be anti-people. God gave them responsibility. He said, fill the earth. And He says, subdue it and have dominion. And God gave us responsibilities. I want you to just see this verse here, that the first one, Genesis 9:6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Why is that a big deal? For in the image of God made he man. You understand this? Murder is an attack on God. That's why he said, thou shalt not kill, and it's talking about murder. Jesus said, if you have hate in your heart toward another, you're guilty of murder. That's why hatred's such a big deal, because it's attack on God. You see, if we just limit it to the person, it's easy to hate people. I wish it wasn't so easy. There's a lot of people I don't like. I've gone around most of my life and said, you know, it's a good thing it's not a video game. I'd eliminate you. I do that too often. It's not right, because it's usually when I'm driving. But I get a hold of myself and I think, you know what, that's such bad thinking. Stop saying that to yourself. Stop thinking that. Because this is a reminder for me. Everybody's created in the image of God. That's why I don't think it's our choice to say whether a baby lives or dies. And so I know this. Is life harder if you have a mentally, physically, a challenged son or daughter? It is. It's harder. But it's not our place to make that decision. I don't think there's a realistic example. I've never heard of one, and I've searched for it. I don't think there's a realistic example, and maybe there's one. I don't think there's a realistic example in our day and age, in the United States of America, where they ever have to say, somebody's got to die, the mama or the baby. I don't think that scenario exists. So when they say, well, you know, what about the life of the mother? Then maybe you need to take the baby early, but do all you can to save that baby. I don't think there's ever a choice where they say, got to go in and chew that baby up and kill it. I don't think there's ever a scenario like that in the United States of America. I think you might have to make choices that maybe the mother's so sick and all kinds of difficulties that says, we need to take the baby or the mother's going to die. I've known stories where mothers have said, no, if I die, I die. I'm going to carry this child and I'm going to be the sustainer of life until God says I'm not. And God bless. It doesn't mean He'll always bless in that circumstance. You need to pray about those situations. But I will tell you this. I don't think it's ever our right to take the life of the unborn. And so Genesis 9:6 says there is a special issue with mankind when they kill another person. I tell you this in Luke 12:48. It's one of my favorite passages, just of responsibility. It's in a parable, but let me just read the underlying part, because it's a principle of God's word. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I will tell you, God expects more out of people. God expects more out of us because we've been blessed and we've been given so much. And so remember, this relates to this. It relates to responsibility comes from being created in God's image. Let me just share with you, I think, just some thoughts. I believe this. I believe we're in a fallen image of what it looked like for Adam and Eve. But when you see a hurricane, I think it's glorious. And I think there could be some wrong motives involved. But I think when people empty their pocketbooks out and send billions for the hurricane aid, you know what I think? You know why I think that is? Created in the image of God. It's exactly what God would do. And so people respond because they were created in the image of God. I like things like, and I know it can be abused, GoFundMe pages, you know, where it's legitimate. Help people. Help people. Help people. That's what God does. God had zero obligation to send his son. He was the only hope that we have. People ask me, at least recently they've asked me, they said, why do you never use the word free will? I said, because the Bible doesn't. You understand what the Bible says? If God left us to our free will, no man would seek God, no man would understand, no man would be saved. You understand that? Can I have a few people say maybe amen? I'm not a Calvinist, so just relax. and we're going to love Calvinists that are like Spurgeon. I'm just looking for them. And it's this. I want you to understand this. If God left us to our own, no man would seek him. Aren't you glad God sought you? Aren't you glad God intervened for you? Aren't you glad that God was so good and just he sought you because he loved you and he knew you and he knows the hairs on your head? Isn't that an amazing God? It's an amazing God. And so I tell you, I the terms I use is God enables us to believe. And it's only because of God's goodness. And he tells us he intervenes for all. I'm not trying to get crazy. I want you to be thinkers. And I want you to be just leaving tonight and go, I am so glad that I was created in the image of God and he cared enough for me that he intervened in my life so that I might be saved. Isn't that good news? And so we should be good image bearers of the Lord. Now, I'll finish with this. This is now the message. That was all the introduction, but I thought this was cool. This is kind of the biblical perspective of created in anyone's image. Man's created in God's image. We're going to find out at least what your pastor thinks that means. Jesus is the image of God. Our children are created in our image, not just the physical. Believers are recreated, renewed, created in the image of God. And because of that, responsibility comes with it. Now, what does it mean to be created in God's image? I'll give you five things, five thoughts that I have here. One is, man is the image and glory of God. 1 Corinthians 11:7 says this. I don't think I'm going to touch the controversial part of this verse. It says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, dealing with some other issues, some other local customs that Paul was dealing with the Corinthians, but for a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Why? For as much as he is the image and glory of God. Man is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. It's a little controversial there, right? But I'll give you just a brief snippet. Being created in the image of God is all mankind. But he does say this. He created Eve from Adam's rib. And he says in this same chapter, it's not a less than proposition. Men and women are equal heirs before God. But he says the man was not created for the woman, but the woman for the man. God looked out and said, it is not good that man is alone. He needs a helpmeet. But I want you to understand this. If that picture is this, if he's talking about men, and he is in this passage, but I believe that men and women are created in the image of God too. I don't think this verse blows that away. But you could suggest it could. But it's this. If we are created, let's just talk if men. If we are created in the image of God, God cares for us. God loves us. God is protecting us and takes responsibility for us, right? Well, that was God's plan for men with women, that we would treat them as he has treated us. And through history, not even close. Men have abused their position of authority. They've abused their position of power. And they've mistreated women. And so, but I tell you this, let's get back onto what I wanted to. Man is the image and glory of God. Not animals. It's an absolute insult to suggest that we are on the same plane as animals. It should bother us if an animal dies some horrible death. If you hit an animal with a car, I'm not suggesting that, but it's far different than if you hit an animal with a car than if you hit a person with a car. And so it is, man is the image and glory of God. And so in Christ, we were created to glorify God. We should wake up every day. I remind you about Sunday school. Come to Sunday school this Sunday. Todd wanted me to say that. Just kidding. He's under overwhelming pressure. But it's, we want to be focused on the gospel of Christ. And being focused on the gospel of Christ, I've tried this, and I haven't been as consistent as I want to be when you're done. I'll let you know how you did. But I want to be dominated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here's the key. Why do I want to be dominated with the gospel of Christ? So that I can glorify Him. You see, I want to be on my toes so that I'm just overwhelmed with the goodness of God. I'm just overwhelmed with His love and care, so that when I am walking through this life, I have one objective, and that's to glorify my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My behavior will change if I'm focused on His work on the cross, on His death, on His burial, on His resurrection, and I know why I'm focused on it, because He is worthy, and I was created to glorify Him. I was created to be the representative of the goodness and the glory of God. That's a big thing. And created in the image of God, I believe, is man is the image and glory of God. Secondly, man has an eternal soul. I will tell you, I'm going to piece these together, and I'm going to tell you this now just in case I forget, because I get so excited about other parts of the message. What you're going to see of the five components that I'm going to list here, you're going to see three of them: body, soul, and spirit. Okay? I believe being created in the image of God, a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He created a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. I'm not even going to tell you that I think that perfectly represents what the Godhead is, right? But I will tell you, I'm convinced, you know, there's this dichotomous, trichotomous, whether it's body and soul or whether it's body, soul, and spirit, I'm convinced the body does deal with soul and spirit interchangeably many times. But there's enough verses that deal with them distinctly that I believe that we are a triune creation, body, soul, and spirit. Well, number two, man has an eternal soul. You know, I worked for Procter & Gamble, and they made the dumbest movie ever, All Dogs Go to Heaven. I'm sorry. They don't. And so we all got free copies of it, and I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, what am I supposed to watch it with my kids and tell them everything you watch was wrong? Are there going to be dogs in heaven? Probably. Going to be dogs on earth? Probably, but won't be yours. And so man has an eternal soul. There's an eternal component to man that makes man unique, that makes man special, that makes man just the beauty of God's creation. And so man has an eternal soul. Third, man has a conscience. In essence, if I could have written it, but I wanted to just follow the scriptures, man can distinguish between right and wrong. Animals can be taught, but, you know, I've watched some dumb videos sometimes, you know, with like my friend the polar bear, and he's like, my dinner when I'm really hungry. And I think, well, how crazy is that? I kind of am interested, right? And how long did he stay your friend? Until he got really hungry. You think a grizzly bear that was your friend understands that it's wrong to eat you? They don't. And so be thrilled if you have a pet grizzly bear that he hasn't eaten you yet. But people know this. You know, there's still cannibal tribes that exist today, some in New Guinea, I think, still, right, Stephen? I was reading about it the other day. Are there still? I was reading it the other day. It sounded like they were still there. Maybe not. Oh, so I was reading an older article. I'll have to go back and look. So some of it was, but you doubt it today. So 30, 40 years ago, still close, people were eating people. Those cannibals knew you're not supposed to eat people. I mean, there's stories about when they discover cannibal tribes that they say, we can eat this tribe, but not this tribe. So even the most decadent of us, there's a conscience, and you know this, you know what is right and wrong. Romans 2:15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Our conscience will tell us what is right and wrong. Your conscience isn't the barometer of what is right and wrong. God's word is. You can sear your conscience. You can, you know, if you want to think of it from a human perspective, it's called the prefrontal cortex of your brain. You can mess that so up that it doesn't work anymore. Here's the beautiful thing. And usually, when the prefrontal cortex doesn't work, it's because of addiction. So, prefrontal cortex, an example is if you're walking through the woods and you jump back because you thought you saw a snake. But what happens is you do the same sin over and over again. They've done tests. The blood flows through the front of your brain less. You will not be bothered with a sin that bothered you to no end at first. What you got to love about the Lord, if you turn from your sin, make it right with God, the brain is one of the most malleable, repairable elements that God ever created. They've seen former drug addicts in the blood flow returns. Isn't God good? You can mess yourself up and God will still fix you. Isn't that good? Usually doesn't happen overnight. You know, I tell people, however long it took you to get to this place, probably going to take twice as long to get you back. Just part of life. There's times God gives victory instantly, but there's times He doesn't. And so we've got to be patient. Man has a conscience. All I'm telling you is there is a great difference. We did not evolve from a monkey. Man is in the image because he is the glory of God and he reflects the glory of God. Man has an eternal soul. Animals don't. Man has a conscience. That's wrong. See, this is powerful too, to know this, that people know what's right and wrong. All you do is use the word of God. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Number four, man uses logic and reason. If you'll allow me to, I'm going to call this one the spirit part of the body, soul, and spirit. I could have done a better job, but I was trying to just narrow it down to just a few. But, you know, you could say it's logic, it's reason, it's personality. But, see, man has the ability to reason. I was talking to somebody the other day, and if there's a problem, we'll solve it. Animals, no, they just eat their own. Right? I mean, animals, they can't. And God says this in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together. Reason together, saith the Lord, because I made you to reason with me. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We have the ability to logically figure things out. We have the ability to reason. Now, I want you to understand this. If your logical conclusion disagrees with the Bible, your logical conclusion is wrong. If my reason comes up with a different conclusion than God's Word says, then my reasoning is not correct. But God has given us the ability to solve problems, figure problems out, and so He puts that as instinct in animals. And it's pretty cool when you see some of these animals, some of these birds, some of the nests they make. I mean, I just saw a bird thing the other day that this bird makes a nest inside a tree and it closes itself in and can't get out. And the daddy bird brings in the food through the little opening. And until the babies are hatched and until the babies are strong enough to fly, then she breaks it so nobody else can get in. You can't break it from the outside. She can only break it from the inside. That's God. That's not the birds going around going, I think it's a good idea. Let's make a hard crusted outside shell and the inner part. And then the husband speak up and say, how about putting the wives in a cage? Maybe they do have reason. Just kidding. But, you know, they have instinct. God's created them. I want you to understand this. I don't know if I've said this. There's variation within animals. That's not evolution. You understand this. You've heard terms like this before, right? That, you Southerners, you cold-blooded, Southerners, right? Because the closer you get to the equator, the thinner your blood gets. So you move up north too fast, and you're going to be colder than us. Didn't you like that air conditioning blowing on you? Look, it's at 71. Maybe you should put it at 72. It does feel a little cool in here. But it is, it's God does that. You know, I mean, it was the basis of Darwin's entire evolutionary theory, is that finches had different beaks. And they thought around and said, hey, man, what do you think about this beak? It's kind of dumb when you think about it, but that's the basis that Darwin's system of evolution was. And it was just, it's all within the DNA that God provided that said, if you're in a territory that has a lot of rocks, your body will adapt and give you a different beak to deal with rocks. God's amazing, but we've removed the glory from God. Man uses logic and reason. God wants you to be a thinker. God's not asking us to have blind faith. He's asking us to have faith that has substance, faith that has evidence. You need to make sure you stand up for that. You need to make sure you tell everybody, I want you to be a thinker. And then tell them you're biased. But if I disagree with the Bible, I know I'm wrong. But I want you to think. I want you to challenge me. I want you to test me. Because that's what God, he says, come, let us reason together. That's what we should say to people. Come on, let's study the Bible together. I've had atheists. I'll say, what do you think I believe? You've probably heard me say this. And they tell me what they think I believe. I'll go, you don't have a clue what I believe. How about having a Bible study with me so you at least know what you disagree with? Had a Bible study with an atheist once. He didn't like what he disagreed with. But I will tell you this, I believe this, that the power of God's word, I just may see that man in heaven one day. I don't know. That's how powerful God's word is. And then fifth, man's body is designed uniquely. So if you'll allow, I believe created in the image of God is in that triune perspective, body, soul, and spirit. And so we could have more than you want to add. These, I think, are the key components that I see in God's word, that being created in God's image is we were created to glorify God. We were created with eternal souls. We were created and we have a conscience to know what is right and wrong, because the way we honor God is through righteousness. The only way we can honor God through righteousness is through his Son. Number four, he's given us the ability to think, to reason, that your life doesn't have to be the same. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, don't expect your life to be different. But your life can be different for Christ, and you ought to study the Bible, think on it, logic. But then man's body is designed uniquely. I told you this, it is probably the greatest reason that I can find the necessity for the resurrection is because I would never be conformed to the image of Christ if I never had a resurrected body. I would be an incomplete, saved person of God, and there's no such thing. Created in the image of God, great responsibility, great privilege. Let's pray. Father, I thank you.